it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Good morning, Lee.
Yes, it is morning, Tara.
Because every morning we wake up in America, the last free place on Earth.
Yes.
It is a good morning. No matter what else happens.
Or what the cost.
Or what the cost. When you consider that Charlie Kirk, more than anyone else in America, really, on the right or left, built his platform making Lee a good faith and kind, polite, respectful effort to model civil political discourse and debate in the public square. That's who this guy was. His entire project was built on reaching across the divide.
The embodiment of the First Amendment.
Yes, perfectly. Using speech, not violence, to address and resolve issues. He went into the places. He sought out the places where people would disagree with him the most. He said, you know, they really need to hear both sides on these campuses. I'm going to go there and politely debate. And if people don't want to hear me, they don't want to see me, they can just skip my event. And yet, did you see yesterday, one of the things that was so remarkable to me, watching that video of him unfortunately and tragically being shot, was the number of people there of their own free will and accord.
Thousands.
I knew those events were popular. I didn't realize they were that big. And that is why they shot him. That is why. It's going to be a leftist. There's one every week now. They think they have the right to kill anyone who disagrees with them. That was spilled out manifestly in the manifesto of the last left-wing shooter. What are we, a week from it now? A little over a week from it? Minneapolis? He had the correct views, ergo, he had the right to do violence. Where did this come from? Well, J.B. Pritzker would have us believe it is our fault. Democrat governor of Illinois.
But I will say that political violence, unfortunately, has been ratcheting up in this country. You know, we saw the shootings, the killings in Minnesota. We've seen other political violence occur in other states. And I would just say it's got to stop. And I think there are people who are fomenting it in this country. I think the president's rhetoric often foments it. We've seen the January 6th rioters who clearly, you know, have tripped a new era of political violence.
No, 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 honey. No, that's not where it started. I'll tell you where it started. It started the Summer of Love. $2 billion worth of damage. An all-time record. The most damage done in American history in every single instance, with one exception, and that is the Civil War. That was the left. That was not us. We do not do that. We do not burn things. We do not hurt people. And for him, the gall to mention Donald Trump and blame his rhetoric? I'm sorry, have we seen leftists try to kill, you know, have we seen right-wingers try to kill, you know, Democrat presidents? No, we don't do things like that. But a left-wing troll by the name of Thomas Crooks tried to kill President Trump because he disagreed with him. And when Andrew Torba, remember the head of Gab, said, hey, look, I've archived Thomas Crooks' account. He was a hateful liberal troll. He liked to come on Gab, a conservative site, and scream and yell at people, call them names. But I can't seem to get the FBI to return my phone calls. They don't want the evidence. It doesn't go both ways. And we're not going to pretend this morning on this show that it does, because it doesn't. It doesn't. And we, Lee, we are the victims in this country. It's a weekly thing now of weak-minded people on the left who have been more brainwashed than a World War to kamikaze pilot. And they, in a weird way, are sort of victims too. I think that the leadership of the left takes advantage of what they know is a significant number of people, as has been told, has been shown in polling again and again and again, who are mentally ill on the left. They confess it in polls. They say, yes, it's third. I looked it up again last night. There have been three of these in the last year, two in the last 2 months, including the one that just came out from Gallup. 50% of liberal women, 5-0, say they are diagnosed with a mental illness. 30% of liberal men, they know this and they push them. So I don't want to hear any pretending today that we need to turn the rhetoric down in this country. It's all of us. No, it's not all of us. It's just not. And I want to read real quick, Lee, Charlie Kirk, this is a prophetic warning to America. This Rutgers study, which I made much of, came out in April of 2025. Headline, shocking study, left embracing an assassination culture. This was done by Rutgers University, specifically their Network Contagion Research Institute, NCRI. The founder of that institute, Joel Finkelstein, said, what was formerly taboo culturally has become acceptable. We are seeing a clear shift, glorification, increased attempts, and changing norms all converging into what we define as an assassination culture. And he said it was on the left. Charlie Kirk wrote, assassination culture, talking about that very Rutgers survey, assassination culture is spreading on the left. 48% of liberals say it would be at least somewhat justified to murder Elon Musk. 55% said the same about Donald Trump. In California, activists, Charlie Kirk wrote, are naming ballot measures after Luigi Mangione. The left is being whipped into a violent frenzy. Any setback, whether losing an election or losing a court case, justifies a maximally violent response. This is the natural outgrowth, he concludes, of left-wing protest culture tolerating violence and mayhem for years on end. The cowardice of local prosecutors and school officials have turned the left into a ticking time bomb. And it blew up in his face.
And on this day, when we observe the results of radicalized Muslims' attack on this country, we are now seeing the results of radicalized Marxist.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, for Pritzker to do this, when CNN, we're going to go back through all of this today. When CNN glorified Luigi Mangione, when folks on the left, again, are in California legislators, are glorifying him by naming legislation after him. They are saying to these mentally ill leftists, again, with the men, about 30% self-described, not my opinion, in the Gallup poll, you can achieve immortality. You can achieve folk hero status. You can be the next Luigi Mangione. Women may not want to date you in life, but they will in death. And for them to pretend they're not doing this, like they're just as shocked as everyone else, it's just, that's what's so sickening. It really is.
Well, it's just so disingenuous. And to hear these people complain about, you know, political violence when all they have done is talk about how the very existence of Donald Trump and MAGA supporting Republicans are a threat to our democracy. That's not hyperbole from me. That came from the mouth of Joe Biden in front of a red lit Philadelphia building.
A guy who censored us with his FBI, debanked us, threatened bank officials who said they were really glad Trump was going to protect them from Biden's regulators, debanked groups for merely being religious and conservative. I mean, it goes on and on. Well, we just finally got one of the IRS persecutors, Bessent, founder and fired her from the Treasury. Persecuted. We don't do these things, Lee. That's not us. That is them, and there is a difference. So don't tell us to pipe down. We didn't get to speak because you were censoring us.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you know what all this is about? And this is why if I sound kind of weirdly positive this morning, if there's any silver lining in any of this, if we were losing this debate we are finally allowed to have, thank you God for Elon Musk. If we were losing, Charlie Kirk wouldn't be dead this morning. He wouldn't. It's a threat to them. They have never had to live in an environment where they have to have an honest debate in order to win. They don't even know how to do it. They've never heard it.
Well, and to that point, I thought it was very telling this morning when I got up and I looked online and on Fox News, story after story after story after story of the assassination, the political assassination of Charlie Kirk, reaction of the American people, his wife and kids that are left behind, story after story of this. I go over to the Apple News feed. One story at the top from Reuters. One story. And I look at news. I look at sports. I look at automotive things. The reason I do that is because I want to see what the enemy of the Republic is thinking.
Yeah.
There was one story, Tara, at the top from Reuters. It was the top story, but there were no other mentions anywhere in that entire news feed that I had of anything else about the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. So we need conservatives, God-loving American people who cherish our founding principles, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our faith. And our conservative principles need to talk about this.
Yep.
Calmly, firmly, but determinedly.
And with love.
And with love. Because
for our country.
I do not want to see any harm come to any Democrat, but I want to rededicate myself to defeating every Democrat at the ballot box every time, no matter what the office is, because it is the rhetoric of the Democrat Party, their leadership, and their elected officials that led to the death of this young man. His only crime was speaking his mind, speaking the truth to power, and having the guts to do it anywhere and to calmly and with reason, logic, and compassion for his opponents discuss issues in the marketplace of ideas. And it cost him his life.
Coming up on the show, this is not something that just happened. We've been getting here by inches. We're going to go back over that journey up next. Texter writes, hey, Tara, talking about Lee, what he had said a minute ago. Tara, the MSN homepage is the same as Apple. I updated my page 3 times, and there were 3 articles. In other words, not widespread coverage of this. Now, the texter writes, I think it's funny y'all still think talking can work. We can't vote our way out of this. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can. No, I don't accept that at all. We are not like them. And I was explaining this to my daughter yesterday, and I said that this is a reaction of panic by the Marxist left because we aren't censored anymore. Understand something. Let me tell why we are a different place right now. In America. I say this all the time. I say it every day. Probably sick of it. But if we don't understand why we are winning, we will lose. Never in my lifetime in America have we ever, us, our side, the normals, the center-right majority of this country, ever had a voice. We were never allowed to. We were shut out in the mainstream media, which lied ad nauseum. Then as the mainstream media began to lose its power because there was social media, there was more opportunities for people to find things or go direct to the source. Donald Trump used that. Donald Trump used that to win. And in the analysis, after Donald Trump won, they found, New York Times, more than 10 times the hits, clicks, and likes on things he was producing from his campaign than Hillary. We beat them fair and square. I said they're going to censor us. I told you that. And then they did. Started right after that with James Comey going to Breitbart, investigating them for Russia collusion, see if he could shut them down. Didn't work out. So they came up with a new solution. They embedded themselves inside social media and began censoring us. That was the first sign of panic. Because for the first time, Americans could hear us without ordering National Review, $29.99 a year. That's what it used to cost when I got it. Growing up as a kid, right at my bedroom. It's what you had to do. You couldn't hear us any other way. Folks, it's been this way for 100 years. We've never had a voice. That is what is different. And they made a mistake. They thought, well, Elon Musk's got billions in government contracts. He'll censor for us. He didn't give any indication he wouldn't as he was buying it. And then, boom, kicks the FBI out. They didn't see that coming. America, in my lifetime, in probably your lifetime, don't know how old you are, has never heard from us. When Charlie Kirk started his truth ministry, because that's what it was, on college campuses, he still had to, because he did it as at 18, founded Turning Point USA, he still had to go on campus to reach people. That's changed. They don't know what to do. Folks, we are just now learning what would happen if we had a fair and equal free speech environment. Because we don't know. I've never seen it. Folks, I'm on my third YouTube account. They're getting ready to take that, by the way, if you watch me there. That's why my stream doesn't go up anymore. I'm on my third warning. Again, the left. Why? They can't debate. They can't win, and they know it. They know it. It's an admission. They have no recourse but violence, and this has not changed since their hero, Marx, wrote his horrific manifesto that resulted in the murder of over 100 million people in the last century. And Charlie Kirk is just the latest. This is a fight and a struggle we will always have to fight. But never, and I want to give you a positive here, never, ever, ever in human history have me and you and the little guy in their basement ever had the voice we have today, ever, without exception. Part of that is technology, is social media, and part of that is Elon Musk standing in the breach and saying no. Elon Musk, a man who, if he left this country and went to Europe right now, would be arrested. He's under criminal investigation in France. So is Donald Trump for saying true things. So is Riley Gaines. He can't leave this country. This is the last bastion of freedom on earth. And yet, ironically, we are freer today than we have ever been. Never has the common man had a voice like they do today. And we are killing them with it, rhetorically. And they're killing us physically. They have nothing. They have nothing. Their arguments don't work. There is never totalitarianism side by side with free speech ever. And our speech is getting freer. It hangs by a thread. Elon Musk could roll over tomorrow, be assassinated himself. Who knows? And it ends. But for now, we are the freest we have ever been. And this is a symptom of that. And that freedom is a good thing. Charlie Kirk was killed because he was hitting critical mass. They couldn't stop him. He was blowing up. He was getting bigger. And he was listened to by young people. Even my daughter, who's not into politics, and she said, that's our family business. My boys are big into it. They love it. She didn't want to hear it. You know, typical teenage rebellion. She was beside herself yesterday. She couldn't understand. She's not as much of a follower as the rest of us are. But Mom, I don't understand. He was a nice guy. She's seen his videos. He's a nice guy. I don't agree with everything he said, but he was a nice guy. Why would they kill him? I said, that's the left. That was what I have fought with every single day of my adult life. That there is the difference between them and us. And there is a difference.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So right now, yeah, a lot of people saying we're in a civil war. You bet we are. It's a war of words. And look, I mean, here's the things more. This app we pay a lot of money for. I'm in awe of it every day that I look at it, because in the top 10 every day, when we look at it to see what are you sharing, liking, clicking online, about half of it's our media and the other half's theirs. That's fine. Unthinkable 10 years ago. There was no other media, no voice. Understand, this is a reaction of desperation and pain. And that is good. I'm not going along with this. We're going to have a civil war, shoot, shoot, bang, bang. BS. We can fight every bit of this with words and we will decimate them. And that is what, folks, we're now having a liberal in good standing commit an assassination every week. The last one was Minneapolis. There'll be another one in 2 weeks. There will. It is a symptom of something good. We are having a civil war in this country. It's a war of words. And for the first time, we're on the battlefield. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The manhunt is underway for Charlie Kirk's killer. They're going to get him. You can't run, not in the era of video. Ring doorbells. They'll just retrace his path. They're doing it now. Nobody escapes. Been a theme on this show. May take a little longer because the crowds were bigger, but they'll get him. In the meantime, though, former FBI agent Andrew Gilliam on Fox News talking to Todd Pyro this morning. It was interesting what they said.
I know some of your colleagues on our air from the FBI earlier this evening said this looked like, to them, a professional hit. And I think to Carly and I and to you as well, that is one of the major questions that's still outstanding at this point in time.
Well, can I say one thing?
Sure, quickly, please.
We've had now 3 assassination attempts. This one was actually accurate and killed Charlie Kirk, all using the same avenue of approach. And the same vulnerabilities. People aren't locking these down. And so finally, somebody came there and took advantage of that and killed someone. And I think that is very important for everyone to realize that if they're going to have these events, they have to lock down the perimeter and not allow people around that area. Charlie Kirk was a civilian. So people need to realize that a civilian was killed yesterday for exercising their free speech. And largely because of people wanting him dead, but also because security failed in locking down that area.
He was killed while debating, which is what this country was founded on. He will be remembered.
Looked professional. Yeah, it did. That hit looked professional. I knew as soon as I saw it. Not an expert, but they are, and they had the same impression. Then John Solomon, a veteran news reporter, one of the few to get the Russia collusion hoax right from the beginning among the D.C. press corps, a feat I still admire him for today, was the one yesterday who broke the death of Charlie Kirk. He got it first. Not surprised. But I am surprised by this. Or maybe I shouldn't be. Because it fits the same pattern that Andrew Gilliam was talking about. He said, well, this is the third time. What were the first two? Donald Trump. Open air, outside, unsecured perimeter. And to some extent, you really can't secure the full perimeter. I mean, when you're outside, it's very, very hard to do when leftists increasingly want to kill you. And Mr. Crooks, make no doubt about it, was a doctrinaire leftist. We know that from his Gab account. No matter how much the FBI and the mainstream media try to hide that, you can't change facts. He was a left-wing troll. He killed Trump because of his political beliefs. And maybe with some overseas help. Because remember, Congress still has not seen what they formally requested from the FBI and the ATF. We know Thomas Crooks had overseas handlers. We know he had overseas financial accounts. We have never seen them. Neither has Congress. We've never seen that evidence. Why is that? My theory is that Bongino and Kash Patel can't get that out of the FBI. The Crooks assassination event in Butler, I will remind you, is one of the few that the FBI did the pre-security for, along with the ATF. Weird. And then there was this overnight. Golly, this is familiar. John Solomon, who broke the death of Charlie Kirk first.
The investigation goes on. There's a lot of piecing of evidence together. We don't have a shooter tonight. We have a couple leads. There's a couple hot leads. There's a little bit of foreign intelligence. And I think over the next couple of days, we will learn a lot more. And hopefully we will bring to justice the evil person who did what they did to Charlie today.
Foreign intelligence. Really? We're going to have some more overseas accounts. That's how this is going to go. Ukrainian guy had him too. 17 cell phones, all kinds of overseas accounts. No money. Flew in from Hawaii, so he didn't bring his gun. Where'd he get his gun? We don't know. We still don't know. They won't let us know. This going to go this way? Professional look to the hit? Like they've been, I don't know, trained. Foreign overseas accounts. We're going to have this story again, but we don't ever get to see them or know about them. Not saying it will be this way. Then we'll be told, no, I'm foreign. Yeah, all kinds of foreign connection. But don't worry, he was just a sick kid. It's okay. Nothing to see here. And Congress will subpoena it, and then we won't get any information. Is that how that's going to go? You mean like the last two? You know what's interesting about Charlie Kirk? Look at the last few weeks of his life and the things that he was doing. He had taken on not just a national persona, but an international persona. Meeting with Japanese officials, very public meeting. Benjamin Netanyahu talking with him. In fact, Netanyahu had scheduled him to come to Israel. He tweeted that last night, and Charlie Kirk obviously will never get to do that. Nothing is more feared by the international left right now than people who espouse freedom. They are censored in every country. You start to get a big profile internationally. Just saying. They'll tell us it was just a disgruntled kid. And a lone actor, I'm sure. That's what we'll hear. Just like Matthew Crooks, who I'm here to tell you was not a lone actor. Not a lone actor at all. Texture rates here. Have you noticed that most of the people celebrating Charlie's death are white women, and a lot are teachers? Folks, if you have not been on X this morning, this has surprised even me, and I'm so glad. Anna Paulina Luna, Representative Anna Paulina Luna, Republican Congresswoman from Florida? No, I think I forget. I don't know. Anyway, I'll have to look it up. I should know that. I forget where she's from. She put a tweet out telling Elon Musk, these liberals are disgusting. They're everywhere cheering on the death of Charlie Kirk. Censor them. No, dude, no. No, 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 no. We want full Bark at the Moon madness on display so everybody knows what the left really thinks and how dangerous they are. We do not want censorship of the left. Not now, not ever. Not like they did to us. We don't want it. But have you been on X? Because if you haven't been on X, here's how you do it. You could go on without having an account. Go on X, click the trending words on the side, click Charlie Kirk or something like that. Just read down it. Just read it. I'd say it's running somewhere between a third and half the post are lunatic leftists. They are laughing. They are the happiest I have seen them in a long time. I'm shocked at the volume of posts. It literally is shocking. Then go over to Blue Sky. Take a look at what's going on there today. They're calling for more blood. They want more heads. And I drop by Blue Sky regularly, as you know, their wackadoodle platform. Or people who left Twitter because it wasn't violent and leftist enough, apparently. Oh, go read Blue Sky this morning. It's not one or two. It's not one guy who said something he shouldn't and then canceled his account. It's all of them. They are full on bloodlust this morning. They are more excited and more energized than they've been in a long time. And the reason I tell you to go look at it is so that you can understand what we're up against and how Bark at the Moon insane they are. So this is the part, folks, where Democrats pretend they haven't been fomenting violence all over the country for years now. $2 billion worth of damage in the Summer of Love. I just checked the National Police Benevolent Association for the latest tally on it. 32 dead in the Summer of Love. Some lynched. Some were police who were murdered. One police officer... attacked from behind by violent left-wing protesters in a coma for the rest of his life. He's a vegetable. We don't talk about them. That was in Las Vegas, by the way. Bet you didn't even know that. He's still in a coma. Vegetable. Life gone. Hey, they were mad. You don't make them mad. Let's not pretend this is the rhetoric. This is the Democrats' rhetoric. Not we all have to look inside ourselves and turn down the volume. No, we don't. No, we're good people. They're not. It's not hard. They have fomented violence again and again and again. I've got a whole stack here. Pulled it out of the folder. I keep it in. Waiting for something like what happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday to happen. Let's go back, shall we? 2017, Mayo Yiannopoulos. Remember when he was really popular? Milo Yiannopoulos event canceled after violence erupts. This was at Berkeley. And this was the phase where liberal college administrators were saying that they were not going to spend school dollars to protect conservative speech. And so if you wanted to come on campus, they wanted you to put up bonds of like $100,000 just to speak as a conservative, i.e. sending the message to violent thugs, yeah, go beat them. And they did. They tried to kill him. Beat him, that is. By 10 p.m., after a violent mob chased him off the campus, campus officials had to put a shelter-in-place order because of the violent mob of more than 1,500 protesters who'd gathered outside the student union. Now, if they want to protest and have signs and say things and shout things, that's fine. But they were violent, pushing, shoving, trying to fight their way in so they could get him. They had to sneak him out a back door. 2017, y'all, you knew this was coming. Oh, then there was Ann Coulter. Google that one. Another violent mob. Police have to rush her out, sneak her out, so they can't get a hold of her and beat her. They actually did get a hold of Riley Gaines and beat her. She was speaking for Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization. No, she didn't really do that anymore. She learned. She learned. They beat her. She was chased by a violent mob. She was beaten by a man in a skirt who just didn't like what she was saying. The police were able to rush her into a classroom with a solid wooden door where they had to hide behind barricades. They barricaded the door, sheltering in place for hours as the violent mob screamed and raged and tried to break it down outside. Wonder how many people were ultimately arrested? Because that wasn't just a barricade and hostage situation of Riley Gaines. It was also the campus police. Eventually San Francisco police had to come in and liberate her from the mob. Wonder how many people were arrested for that after a 9-month investigation? Zero. Headline, Riley Gaines rages at police not charging activists. Why? This is Democrats laughing, wink, wink, nod, nod. It's okay to beat a woman if she says wrong things. It's okay for a grown man to beat up Riley Gaines. You should have seen this dude, by the way, who punched her full on in the face. He's a good foot and a half taller than her. Big dude in a dress. But it's all good. Hey, they had him on camera. Folks, this was coming. It was coming. And the message from the left is don't bring your free speech here. We can't debate you. Your arguments are better. So we'll just hurt you. I'm just getting started in the stack, by the way. Thanks. There's over 24. This was coming.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.